The idea that decarbonisation is inherently elitist is a myth, peddled largely by political figures who've shown little concern for deprived communities in any other context, and who ignore the fact that without a net zero transition, it is the very poorest, globally and domestically, who will suffer most severely. But, like all effective myths, it is founded on a kernel of truth, namely that under successive governments, political decision-making has felt remote and unaccountable. The rich have got richer, and life for a great many of the rest of us has grown harder. Of course we're jumping on this, but we're jumping on it because we think it's a real issue, said Benny Pizer, director of GWPF, when I questioned him about the organisation's shift in focus. He went on, "A year ago, if someone asked their MP, 'Why are you not raising questions about the cost of net zero?' they would say, 'Well, I don't get any letters from constituents about this issue, so why should I stick my head above the parapet?' And this has changed for the first time in recent months. Now MPs do get letters about that very issue." The GWPF may have been working behind the scenes to encourage that change, but as Pizer implies, they are able to do so in part because people are experiencing very real anxieties. When people like McKinley and Baker start talking about whether the costs and benefits of net zero are going to be distributed equitably, and you consider austerity and the impact of the pandemic, there's something there that a lot of people might find plausible, observed Adam Corner, an independent researcher who's helped lead studies on public attitudes on climate change. They're inviting people to ask themselves, can the same government that made the poorest pay for the banking crisis really be trusted to design a fair climate policy?